Memorial Day is a day for remembering. It is a day when we remember those who made the supreme sacrifice of giving their lives. They went off to defend this country, to do battle for this country, and they never returned, at least not alive. It's a day when we remember relatives, family members, who showed valor and honor in what they did with their lives. We also want to remember those who served men and women, and they did come home. And we want to remember their service today. Memorial Day was not always called that. And I'd like to share with you a little bit of history about this particular day. It's a time when we remember friends and family members who paid the ultimate price to provide for us freedom and the joy of living our lives according to our consciences. But let's take a brief look at the history. It was not always called Memorial Day. To begin with, it was called Decoration Day. Decoration Day. I remember when it was called a Decoration Day. It was a day when family members would go out and decorate the graves of family that didn't come home. And the first Decoration Day took place in Columbia, Mississippi, in the year 1866, when what has now become the Daughters of the Confederacy decorated the graves of the Confederacy who gave their lives in the Battle of Shiloh, there in the land of Mississippi. After that day, in the year 1866, that was when they decorated. In 1868, May 5th was declared as Decoration Day nationally, and the graves of soldiers, both Confederate and Union, were decorated at Arlington National Cemetery, 1868. And ever since then, we have been decorating the graves of our heroes. Various cities have their Memorial Day at different times. But after World War I, that's when May 30th was designated as Memorial Day. And ever since then, this is the time when we decorated. It was the last Monday of the month of May. And so that's what we're doing today. We're remembering those who gave their lives for your liberty, for my liberty. But folks, that liberty is slipping away because we have not been willing to stand up for the thing that gave us the liberty, and that was the Constitution of the United States, and for the Bill of Rights that went with it. For the men who designed and labored over that Constitution knew that it could not give the liberties that were necessary and given by God. Our liberty does not come from our government. It came from God. And we must remember that. In our opening verse, the thief on the cross called out to Jesus for remembrance in a very particular way. And I thought that would be a good place for us to start. Luke 23:42. We want to spend a little time this morning remembering. Jesus was on the cross between two thieves. They had taunted him. They had argued. And one of the thieves turned to Jesus, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest unto thy kingdom. He wanted Jesus to give him a place when Jesus came to his kingdom. And in spite of the pain and the agony that Jesus was in, we have his answer in Luke 23, 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Jesus made him a promise. And Jesus kept that promise. And for 3 days, just 3 days, this thief was with Jesus in paradise. And then something happened. And that's why we meet here this morning. Jesus rose from the dead. And the souls of all those in paradise were taken to heaven to be with him. You can read about it in Matthew 27, 52, and 53. We'll not go there this morning. But at that time, paradise, which had been in the center of the earth, a special compartment, was taken to heaven. And that's where it is today. Jesus didn't have to remember because he never forgets. As a point of fact, the man was with Jesus just 3 days in paradise. And when you and I get to heaven, that thief will be there before Jesus' throne. Because Jesus kept his promise. So as we think about remembering, let's think about another group, not military, but a group that followed Jesus. They were called the apostles. Many people don't know what happened to the apostles. Two of them got old and died a natural death, and that would be John the Beloved, who wrote the book of John, the book of Revelation, and the three little epistles just before Revelation. And the other one was Simon Zelotes. He too died a natural death of old age. All the rest of the apostles died at the hands of persecutors. And I'd like to tell you how 10 of the apostles died. Because a lot of folks don't know this. Let's remember how each one died, not according to Scripture, because it's not recorded. There's only two places in Scripture that records the death of any of the apostles. We'll look at those. But we'll start with Peter. Peter was tried several times for being an apostle, for being a promoter of the Christian faith. And finally, a Roman judge found him guilty and sentenced him to be crucified. But Peter pleaded with that judge, telling him he was not worthy. Tradition tells us, we don't have it recorded anywhere in Scripture, but tradition tells us that Peter pleaded with that judge, telling the judge he was not worthy, that he wanted to be crucified upside down. And so he was. And that's how he died. Next, we learn about James, the brother of John. And that this we can go to Scripture for. It's Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now I can't stop there in this account of James's death, because something very miraculous happened. We'll continue on with verse 3. Peter, when he was executed, was much later after this. And in Acts chapter 12, verses 3 through 10, we are told, "And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter, the Passover, to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the doors kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. So he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth to the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through 1 street, and forthwith the angel departed him. God still had work for Peter to do. And it wasn't time for Peter to die. God delivered him. God provided for his deliverance. Every person saved has a purpose for their life. Everyone sitting in this auditorium, God has a purpose for you. A purpose he wants you to fulfill as his child. That's one of the reasons we're going to have our meeting on Saturday morning, that we can begin planning what God wants us to do next. Because God never is static. A church should never be static. We should always be progressing. We should always be moving forward. And because God had a purpose for Peter, he was not ready for him to die, and he delivered him. And because God has a purpose for each one of us, you are sitting here this morning. If God was done with you, he'd take you home, which is not a bad thing. But he has a purpose for you. And as long as you're breathing, he's got something for you to do. Now, there are times when some of the apostles were delivered, as Peter was here. I can see how they might have thought that they couldn't be killed or couldn't die because God had delivered them. You know, God did the same thing with John, who died of old age finally. They tried to boil him in oil, and they couldn't hurt him. He survived it without any marks. I mean, I don't know if he washed his hands in the boiling oil or what he did, but they couldn't kill him. And so that's why he was banished to the Isle of Patmos, was so that he wouldn't be visible to the people as a reminder of their attempt to kill John and God overcoming. Andrew's the next apostle that we want to look at. Andrew was first scourged by his judge, beaten with a cat of nine tails, had little pieces of metal on each of the leads, and they would rip it across the body, which would tear the flesh, clear to the bone. And because the judge was known to be mean, and the way of executing prisoners that they wanted to cause great pain, crucifixion was very painful. The victim of the crucifixion eventually died of suffocation because he could no longer lift himself to take a breath. Instead of using nails to attach Andrew to the cross, the judge had him tied to the cross to prolong his agony. Because when a person is nailed to the cross, they eventually bleed out. And so he was tied to his cross. And for 2 days he hung there. And we are told that he witnessed to passerbys and shared the gospel with them as he hung on that cross for 2 days. And then he expired and went home to be with his Lord. Philip ministered in Egypt. The Egyptians didn't like Christianity, and so they hung Philip by the neck until he was dead. Not a lot is known about Thomas, except for that it is reported he was stabbed to death with spears in India. Bartholomew served the Lord faithfully until he was arrested for his preaching of Christ. After his arrest, tradition tells us that he was skinned alive. He was filleted and then beheaded. James, the son of Alphaeus, served the Lord in Egypt till he was arrested and crucified, and after his death, his body was sawed into pieces. Judas, brother of James, was crucified in Armenia, and while his body was on the cross, he was shot with many arrows. And of course, the Apostle Paul, we all know of his years of ministry, and the scripture tells us of what happened to him. He was finally arrested in Jerusalem, transported to Rome. There he was imprisoned in a house, and finally into a Roman prison until Nero had him beheaded. That's what happened to 10 of the 12 apostles. So as you can see, Christians should have a Memorial Day too. For all of those who have served the Lord and given their lives, because they have given their lives for more than just liberty. They have given their lives for the souls of men. How do we learn about some of these people? There's people that we should know. And I trust that some of you are reading. I trust that if you really want to know about other Christians who are serving the Lord, that you will read about some of these folks. Mary Slessor is one that Connie and I became acquainted with while we were in Scotland. Not that we knew her, but we knew of her service to the Lord and her care for the orphans in Africa, where she died, giving her life. We know of men like David Livingstone and many of the others, James Elliott, who was from the United States, and he and the men who died with him. All of them gave their lives in the service of the Lord. Was it wasted? No, it was never wasted. The very men who killed James Elliott, his wife went back and led to Jesus Christ. And they became believers, and the whole tribe became believers. So folks, we have a heritage that we can be proud of. And as we think of Memorial Day, we should think about the heritage that we have that we live after. And we can make a heritage for our children and children's children by serving the Lord the way he wants us to. I'm glad that people take the time to remember those who died in an effort to keep us free from tyranny, and that we're able to live according to the dictates of our conscience. I mentioned, I think last week, that the Constitution is based on a Baptist doctrine, a Baptist principle. The priesthood of the believer is the foundation under our Constitution. Men believed that. They knew it was true when they developed our Constitution. The priesthood of the believer. We are accountable to God and Him alone. Memorial Day is a day for remembering those who made the ultimate sacrifices and for high purposes. It used to be called Decoration Day because people would go to the graves of their family members and their loved ones and decorate them. But you and I are part of a family of spiritual patriots who gave their lives for a higher cause. We are part of the Lord's family. And we should remember those who gave their lives for our universal family. When you start talking about a universal family, we're talking about all of those from the time of the resurrection of Jesus Christ who believed from the day of Pentecost on. They spent their life proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't decorate their graves because we don't know where they are. But what we can do is that we can live and provide the flowers of service to our Lord through the power of His Holy Spirit. What kind of service would you give that would be your contribution in the way of flowers of service? Hebrews 13, 1 through 3 tells us this. Hebrews 13, 1 through 3. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. This Memorial Day, remember the patriots who gave all for their country, but remember those spiritual patriots who gave all that they could give so that you and I might have the liberty to worship our God in the way He has prescribed in His Word. This is a special day. We have the flag at half staff in remembrance of those who gave their lives. In our lives, in our hearts, we should remember those who went before us in the service of our King and Master. Prayer for the dead is of no benefit for the dead. Their destiny is already sealed. But we can offer praises to God for those who have gone before us and can pray that the Lord will use our lives as well as He used their lives. I want to commend you. We brought a request to you a couple of weeks ago for brothers and sisters in India. They were starving. They were starving because they could not work. They did not have any money to buy food with. They were the Christians. They were the ones who were shunned, ostracized from the society and their community. You folks gave well over $600 to buying rice. And I got to thank you this week from the organization that sent the money to the pastors. There were 27 churches. They were able to buy rice. They were able to buy other foodstuffs and distribute them among all of the members of their churches. This morning, there are people alive because you loved them enough to give to them. And when they had given to all of their members, then they began giving to the Hindus in the community, to the Buddhists in the community. And hundreds have come to the Lord because they saw that our God loved them enough to provide for them. You did that. you served the Lord. And they are remembering us this day in gratitude. Don't stop. Come to our meeting on Saturday morning. Let's plan to do more. Let's plan to not take little baby steps. Let's take some big steps on faith. And let's see what God does. I think that we will be able to remember this Memorial Day as a time when this ministry began to move forward in the hands of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve you, to labor for you. Father, thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit to use us, to empower us. And Father, may we be faithful to your purpose, and may we see you in all that we do. May we have your word as our motive. And Father, we pray that you will be glorified by everything that is done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a closing hymn.